A Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour, a lot of Texans, a little NFL, a little colleges. We'll get back to the colleges at some point because there's a lot to digest there, and I also want to get to the fight Saturday night at some point, but right now...
There are fights?
Yeah, that's rumor has it. I didn't get to watch them. That was
you missed out?
Yeah, but...
Pretty good fights, man.
Yeah, and I want to get your take on those, but this is where we go through all the NFL games from yesterday. So we'll start with the thriller at East Rutherford. The Rams beat the Jets 9-6.
This is the second year, or second time this year, that the Rams have won a game without scoring a touchdown. How's that happen?
Bryce Petty. It's part of it. yeah, but no, that was just plain ugly. They're very good on defense. Their offense sucks. They're very Texans-like, the Rams. Buccaneers beat the Bears 36-10. Good game for Jameis Winston. I think the highlight play was the one where he ducked all the guys and threw the long pass, but Bears are done.
I mean, that was a mess of a game.
Keller, two interceptions. He fumbled twice.
And now his one lone weapon is a roid head, and he's going to miss four games. Alshon Jeffrey announced today suspended for four games for PEDs.
I'm not really surprised to see that, actually. But
I mean, when you see Alshon Jeffrey without a shirt, it wouldn't be surprising.
We talked about Texans-Jaguars, obviously, quite a bit the first hour, but... I have to admit, I didn't see this one coming. I really thought the Packers were going to get well against the Titans, and they didn't. The Titans got well against the Packers. The Packers' defense is terrible right now. They can't stop anybody. And Aaron Rodgers is not Aaron Rodgers. And when Marcus Mariota is not turning the ball over, and he's had a pretty good run here the last few weeks. He had a couple last week. But when he's not turning the ball over, this is a good offense. So 5-5, and just maybe... Maybe the AFC South isn't the worst division anymore.
No, it's not. I think the NFC North has wrested that crowd from their hands. So the Titans have, to me, been one of the pleasant surprises this season. You know, everybody thought that, well, Jacksonville with their talent, they're gonna start to look like, you know, they're building towards something. Nobody was talking about the Titans, and the Titans are starting to build towards them. And I still think that they don't have the right guy at head coach.
Yeah,
but you know, fake it till you make it, and they've got enough talent now built up on especially with Mariota in that offense, and they're doing a good job coaching the defense. Like I said, once they get some wide receivers, that could be a scary team. But Tennessee is pretty solid.
Yeah, and they're improving, which I like to see during the course of the season. I still think they're 8-8 at best, but what they did yesterday was impressive. Redskins just kind of quietly keep proving that they don't suck. They beat the Vikings. Kirk Cousins had a pretty decent game. Another one where Vikings are missing extra points. They got to do something about their kicker. But, yeah, the Vikings had their chances in this game. They just Redskins just outplayed them when it counted.
The Vikings, as good as they looked the first few weeks, and as unbelievable as it was that they were doing that, given the injuries that they had, I don't want to say it was fool's gold, because defensively they're still a pretty good team.
But they're not getting the turnovers and things like that they were early.
It takes a lot of breaks to win when your offense is that poor. And their offense is that poor. And Sam Bradford is He's just a guy, you know.
Shut out in the second half.
Yeah. The Redskins, you're right. They're not a bad football team. That NFC East is a really tough division, man. There's no free squares that in that division like there has been in the past. In the past, it's always been tight.
Yeah,
but it's because there's no one good. Now everybody's pretty solid.
Yeah, and speaking of that, the Eagles get to 5-4. They beat the Falcons. It was kind of fun because I was watching the game, surrounded by Falcons fans who were not happy.
Oh, I'm sure not.
Yeah, but the Philly defense played really well. I was concerned about their cornerbacks against the Falcons receivers, but they did a good job. They got after Matt Ryan, and Ryan Matthews had a pretty good game. They ran the football well, pretty much whoever they threw out there.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews, who's been basically MIA all year, but that's the other thing. The Eagles, they haven't lost at home.
Yeah.
That means the Eagles and the Seahawks now are the only teams in the NFC to not lose at home. And the Eagles are still in last place because they're 1-4 on the road. But that's if you're going to win all your home games, that gives you a chance to make the playoffs. All you got to do is win one or two on the road if you're going to win all of them at home.
Yeah. Panthers got out to a 17-0 lead.
By the way, Eagles at Seahawks next week, which doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't. Panthers had a 17-0 lead, and they lost the game 20-17 thanks to a couple of key turnovers. Eric Berry had a terrific interception return.
Marcus Peters
with the strip.
Bullied. That's a bully move. Marcus Peters is quickly becoming my favorite defensive player. He's so fun to watch. He's great in coverage. He's a great tackler. He's a complete cornerback. And I don't know what Kevin Johnson's doing these days, but I remember...
He's rehabbing.
I remember lobbying pretty hard for Marcus Peters to be here, but he wasn't a character guy. That's what it boiled down to, I think, is he just wasn't he wasn't Texans worthy, but that dude is a player. The Chiefs offense is still not good, and it's not going to get good at any point, but they are so good defensively, and they just don't... They don't waste it. They don't waste possessions. When they've got the ball, they don't give it away. They don't fumble. And then when they do, it's a big deal because they just don't do it very often. So, but their defense and special teams are both extremely good, and that's another team that's playing really good football right now.
The Cardinals not playing such good football. They had to go down to the wire to beat the 49ers 23-20, and they're basically right down the middle now, 4-4-1. I just don't think this team is what we thought it was. Even on the win, that was just not an impressive performance.
Well, we'll see. I think they're gonna get another one this week because they're at Minnesota, and I just think they're better than Minnesota.
I think they're pretty much the same team.
Okay.
And at this stage, I mean, what have you seen the Cardinals that makes you think they're a good football team?
Well, I've seen they've got a running back who can consistently perform, David Johnson. And they've got a defense that's getting healthier. Tyrann Mathieu's returned to practice. I assume he's going to be back at some point in the next couple weeks. And they didn't suffer any major injuries this week, which I think was like the first or second time this season that they've had a week where they didn't lose anybody, like a major piece of their team. So as that team gets healthy, I think they're going to do okay. At the end of the day, in their last five, they're 3-1-1. And everybody's doom and gloom over there. I don't get that.
It's the same reason you bash on the Texans for barely beating bad teams. If you're asking me to get excited over a 3-point,
I'm not asking you to get excited over them.
No,
for sure.
That's not a good effort. And they don't travel well. I don't like them going into Minnesota. Dolphins Chargers. We talked about a little bit. Phillip Rivers, 4 interceptions, all in the fourth quarter.
Unbelievable.
Just completely melted down. I liked it because it got me the over, which was one of only. My only win of the day, but
I went 0-3 on the NFL yesterday. I played one college game all weekend, won it, and then I went 0-3 yesterday.
I was 4-4 on colleges, 1-1 on the NFL, 0-1 in the CFL. But the only thing that bailed me out was remember how I was talking at Marshall all week. I went and bet a money line on them at plus 10.5. So that helped, and I added one game that I didn't get put on the website just because I was traveling. And I bet on SMU, so I actually came out about even for the week. So
I played heavy on one college game, and I wasn't going to play any college games. I didn't see one college game that I was in love with. And then Iowa got up to 23.5 points, and I was like,
And you got to hold your nose and bet on Iowa.
Yeah, and then they won.
Yeah, and I had some bad luck, too, because I had Charlotte gets up 21-0 on Rice, and then just stops. Yeah. What the hell was that? And what was the other one? I had one. Vandy should have covered against Mizzou. That one didn't work out. But I got lucky with Penn State covering, so it evens out most of the time. All right, we got a couple more games to get to. We'll do that when we come back. But right now, I have to tell you about Omaha Steaks. And if you are looking for the perfect gift, or maybe you're going to have a party for the holidays and you want to feed everybody, well, Omaha Steaks is going to help you do it. Because let me tell you, for only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code Fred in the search bar. How about this? 77% off. And if you don't believe me, this is for $49.99. This is what you're going to get. It's exclusive savings just for the Blitzers. How about this? Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages. I'm not done yet. Four burgers, a 12-ounce package of all beef meatballs, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, and one Omaha Steak seasoning packet. Plus, how about this? Just to throw a sweetener in there, four additional kielbasa sausages for free. Here's what you do. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code Fred in the search bar, add the family gift pack to your cart, and get a 77% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
All right, we're back. I don't think he was sounding quite as cheerful this weekend, but guess what we have coming up at 6:30 today? Aggie basketball. So we'll be out early. We get a little time off. 30 whole free minutes.
Well, there you go.
Then I think Friday we're off at what, 5:30?
Yep.
Okay. Start the weekend early. All right, I'm going to give something away. About a four-pack of tickets to the Lone Star Shootout, where you can see the Texas A&M Aggies battle Arizona and the Longhorns play Arkansas in a nationally televised doubleheader in the Toyota Center December 17th. And you're going to be entered to win a grand prize holiday giveaway from Omaha Steaks. The Omaha Steaks Father's Day package includes filet mignon, sirloins, chicken fried steaks, pork chops. Not a Father's Day package. The Omaha Steaks holiday package includes filet mignon, sirloins, burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, beef meatballs, and more. This holiday, let them eat meat. Log on to omahasteak.com, type Fred in the search bar, and order your holiday pack today. Caller 20, all yours. All right, let's wrap up the NFL here.
All right.
As we move along. Dolphins, Chargers, we talked about a little bit, obviously, so not much else to say other than Phillip Rivers was awful. Cowboys, Steelers, another good game for Ezekiel Elliott, and Dak Prescott, another solid game.
Maybe his best game.
Maybe so. I mean, he had the fumble early.
Yeah.
But 319 yards, two touchdowns. This team's playing really well, and that offense is doing a good job of keeping the defense off the field. That's a big win. There's no way around it. Obviously, you look at that Packers win, and it's like, maybe that's not so good anymore. But this is a good win. Steelers are getting healthy and look good.
And that's the one knock you can make on the Cowboys. Is they're the only team that has, I mean, their schedule has been soft.
Oh, yeah.
But even good teams lose sometimes on a soft schedule. I mean,
And not only that, it's the way they're beating teams. I mean, they've had a few close games, but those are against good teams. They played the Eagles close. They played the Steelers close. But, my goodness, they're just housing teams. When they play a bad team like they did the Browns, they step on their throats. They don't kid around.
They're the only team in the NFL that has yet to play a team who's leading their division. And that changes next week. They play Baltimore, who first plays Baltimore. And after that, the rest of their schedule is all very winnable. If this Cowboys team went 15-1, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I mean, based on what the remaining schedule is.
Yeah, and when you say a team leading their division, that's almost an NFC North type thing with the Ravens. I mean, they're not.
I don't think the Ravens are great, but that's the Ravens. If whatever you think of the Ravens, it's going to be high on the Cowboys' resume as far as quality wins. But the credit where it's due, if a bad team shows up on your schedule, you beat them, and that's what they've done. And if and not all of them are bad teams. Some, like Pittsburgh's not a bad team. They're just not a first place team. The Bengals aren't a bad team. The Giants and Eagles aren't a bad team. They're not in first place because the Cowboys are. But it's I'm really impressed with what the Cowboys have done. Really impressed.
The boy, what a tough way to lose a game with the Saints and Broncos.
Unreal.
If you didn't see the end of that by now, the Saints scored to tie the game. All they needed was an extra point where they were going to take the lead and probably win. And the extra point gets blocked, returned 84 yards for a two-point conversion. Broncos win. And, man, it sure looked like he stepped out of bounds on that. Yeah, obviously there wasn't enough to overturn it. But my first thought was, what the hell is he doing that close to the sideline when there's no one anywhere near him?
I didn't get that either.
That was just not a heads-up play. But
where, I don't remember what yard line it was at that it looked like he stepped out. Were they going to be able to kick a field goal?
No, it was just a failed extra point at that point.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. So the game would have gone to overtime. And that's just a hard, hard way to lose a game. But a great, great block by Justin Simmons.
Which, by the way, that's what they get. That's what, if you bet on the Saints as 3-point favorites, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I mean, I guess people just assume the Broncos are total junk now. They lost to the Raiders, so everybody's just out on them. That Broncos team is still very good defensively and really did 23 points for the Saints at the Superdome. That's a good. Yeah. They did a good job defensively, and you're not going to get a bad performance very often out of the Broncos on defense.
And they also got a couple interceptions. They forced a fumble on just a really, really hard play. And the Saints basically don't have a lot of room for error, and getting an extra point block, that's even if they make that, they don't cover.
Yeah.
So
the weird thing is the Saints don't seem interested in running the ball at all.
Yeah, and they actually can run the ball.
Ingram was off to a pretty hot start yesterday. He was averaging like 5 a carry, and they just like, no, we're not going to let you carry the ball. Very odd.
And I think the Broncos have shown you can run up the gut on them. Yep. If you're committed to it. The Seahawks-Patriots we talked about a little bit last night, I thought that was one of the better games I've seen in a while, especially in primetime. And, you know, we talked about the non-call at the end. I think we're both on the same page with that. I think that was the right thing to not call interference there. It seemed like Gronk did as much on his end. And, you know, give the Seahawks some credit for coming up with the stop there.
And I'm sort of in the – I think this is the Super Bowl, Seahawks-Patriots. I think these are the teams that we're going to see at the end of the year. Seattle is, I think, starting to get a little bit right now. You know, they lost the Saints game after the long game against the Cardinals.
Right.
And then they beat the Bills. Then they go to New England and win.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen often.
Russell Wilson is starting to look like Russell Wilson again, too.
Yep. And Jimmy Graham's starting to be useful. And Thomas Rawls is supposedly on the way back, so maybe they're going to have a running back who can actually run up the middle. CJ Procise did a pretty good job last night.
Yeah, he did.
Too.
He did.
But yeah, I still think these are the teams you're going to see playing here in Houston at the end of the year, if I had to bet. But that was one of the more fun games I've seen this season, for sure.
I still, at this point, I'm not really going to dismiss the Cowboys as a possibility, especially if they have home field throughout, but I don't see anybody beating the Patriots in the AFC.
Well, I'll say this. If it comes to the playoffs, I'll trust a team with Russell Wilson more than I trust a team with a rookie quarterback.
Well, and I'd trust a team with Pete Carroll, too, but let's see what kind of shape they're in when they get there.
Yeah.
Because if they're banged up again, and again, I can't find too much wrong with this Cowboys team. I want to think they suck.
Well, I think you can, if you want to nitpick, you can look at strength of schedule. They haven't played a team as good as the Seahawks all year. The Seahawks just won at New England. They just beat the best team in their house. I wouldn't say they can't go to Dallas and win. If you can win in Foxborough, you can win anywhere.
409 says, that's ridiculous. New England has the softest schedule. The first team they played with a winning record, they lost. Cowboys' schedule is a lot tougher than the Patriots.
Okay.
Beg to differ, sir. And no, it's not ridiculous. It's a very different opinion. And, you know, go put your Cowboys underalls on. And
they've been at Arizona, at Pittsburgh, home to the Seahawks. No,
that's a much tougher schedule than what you played. Accept the fact that your team's playing really well and be happy with it, but don't make crap up. 713-780-ESPN is your
Not
number.
To mention, when they went to Arizona, they did it. Actually, yeah. Their first four games of the season, they went without their best player.
Exactly. That's all right.
Like I said, if you think the Cowboys have played a tougher schedule than the Patriots, show me the one team on the Cowboys schedule better than the Seahawks. I'll wait.
Still waiting.
I'm going to be waiting.
You're better
I'll be waiting till the end of the season, honestly.
You're better off showing them the star tattoo on your junk.
Yes. Like I said, I like the Cowboys. What they're doing is very impressive, but they've not had the toughest road.
Squeeze in a quick call. Jose, he's got a Cowboys question. What's up, Jose?
Hey, how's it going?
Sportsy.
Sports to y'all, man. I got two questions for y'all. The first one is, I understand Des Bryant is our star wide receiver, but the chemistry with Dak and Beasley, it was just there at the beginning of the season, and I understand we got to feed Bryant, but why do you think he's shying away from him? And my second question is, if Romo was in the position, what would he do different than what Prescott's doing now?
I think, and this is why I think maybe it's better that they have Dak out there right now, because I think if Romo were out there, I think you'd be looking at a team that throws 40 or 45 times a game. And I don't think that's necessarily what they need to be right now, especially while their defense is banged up. They need to be a team that can control the ball and is going to keep their defense on the sideline. As far as Dez getting more looks than Dak than Beasley right now, it's because Dez is healthy, and Dez is, you could argue one of the four or five best receivers in the league, and Cole Beasley is just a guy. So, if yesterday, Bryant, 6 catches, 116 yards. Beasley, 5 catches, 33 yards. That's a simple answer as to why. Mm-hmm. And he had that 50-yard. I mean, Dez is just a great player. You want to get Dez the ball as often as possible. If you're the Cowboys.
Agreed. And as far as what...
Cole Beasley's the guy who stands on the other side of Dez. That's what he is.
And the thing is, a healthy Tony Romo can light it up through the air. I just don't know that at this stage, with what Dak's doing, I don't know that you'd be better off at this point, because I still don't think you're going to get Tony Romo back the way he was. I just don't think he's ever going to be that quarterback
Maybe
again.
Not.
All these back injuries. And if he does get out there, he's going to be out there for 3 plays. And he's going to snap again. All right. What do we got to tell the people about here?
Window World. Fred, it's starting to cool down a little. Before long, it's going to be winter time. I don't know if that's really going to happen here, but I've heard rumors that winter is coming. And when it does, you're not going to want to, when you're heating your house, you're not going to want to let that money fly out the window, those heating dollars fly out the window. That's why you replace your aluminum or wooden windows now with energy-efficient windows. It makes sense because it's going to save you money in the long haul. Where can you go for an American-made premium quality window installed by a reliable company that earned the Good Housekeeping seal? The answer's simple. Houston area's choosing Window World. You get the best for less. A premium quality, double pane, double hung window for only $189. Choose from a huge selection of styles and options. The average home takes only a day for installation. It comes with a lifetime warranty that is transferable, that includes glass breakage. I can't give you enough reasons to do this. They're endless. It's endless. Window World's ready to give you a free estimate in your home. No pressure, no gimmicks. Give them a call, 713-439-1172, or go to windowworldhouston.com. Doors and siding are also available. That's windowworldhouston.com. Simply the best for less.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Can I give you a text on why people hate Cowboys fans?
Sure.
Can't fault the Cowboys that they're... Wait, no, that's this one. That's not the one I wanted.
I don't fault them.
That's one of about 8 by the way, that we have. Oh, here we go. Because you just make stuff up. Every week they say this is a Cowboys' biggest test. Then we win and we hear, oh, they weren't that good anyway. Ha! Just admit you guys can't stand to see the Cowboys win. Did we not just spend an entire 10 minutes talking about how good this team is? And how they were beating the crap out of bad teams? And yeah, you guys have to accept the fact that no one is going to tell you everything you want to hear and that this is the greatest team in the history of the known universe. Don't be stupid. That's just silly. That's that you can't even let us praise your team without making crap up. And quit trying to tell me the Cowboys had a better schedule than the Patriots. That's just, you're wrong. Sorry. We disagree. You can sit there and argue.
I'm still waiting for them to tell me about the team they played better than Seattle.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They're overvaluing a lot of these NFC East teams is what the problem is. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, I'm glad your team's winning. They're playing great. Why don't you just enjoy it? You don't have to make stuff up. It's like you're not even hearing what people are saying. They praise your team, and it's not enough for you. That's like, you know what that's like? That's like me saying to this guy, hey, you got a hot wife. And then he's mad because I won't bang her. That's what it is. I think that's exactly what it is. Oh, well, it's not hot enough for you to bang. Well, no, because she's your wife. Let's try Jim. Or is it Tim? It's one of the two. It's a
Tim.
It's
Tim.
An M.
Timbo.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Sports, Tim.
I was calling because
you got your seatbelt on, Tim?
That, when Romo... Hello?
You got your seatbelt on?
Uh-huh.
Okay, just checking. Go ahead.
I was just calling because you were saying that Romo would throw like 45 times a game. You know, where a couple years ago when they had DeMarco Murray, they led the NFL in time of possession and they ran just as much as they threw. So I just don't see why you would think, even with Romo, they would throw more than they would with Dak, you know, which, I mean, to me, it doesn't matter who's the quarterback. I think either one of them can take us there, but we got to have Zeke. Zeke's the MVP of this team. You know, without him.
I don't disagree with that. I do think he's the MVP of this team. Well, he's definitely the MVP as far as skill position players on this team go. But, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe they would. I just assume that, I mean, Tony Romo is not a guy who, over the course of his career, has averaged 28 throws per game. That's just not what Tony Romo's been. So I would assume that they'd feel more comfortable letting him go out there and throw it 40 times a game than they have Dak, who has, the one time he hit 40 pass attempts in a game was week one, the game that they lost.
Yeah, and I know that was a big criticism, frankly, was they were running the ball so well at times. I just think that they can't help themselves. And at this point, like I said, I think they're better off. That's enough Cowboys talk. There are realistic Cowboys fans out there. I do want to say that. I'm not talking about all Cowboys fans. But it's no different than Texans fan who wants to hear every single thing positive. You're going to get realism here whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, that's okay. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Do you want to get back to some college football talk? Or you want
sure.
to take another phone call here?
Whichever.
Well, Mike wants to have college football questions, so that'll help. That'll do both. Mike.
I'll transition.
Yeah.
What's up, Mike?
Mike? Oh, John has to punch the button.
The hey. College football playoff.
Mike, we didn't, hello? We didn't hear what you were saying. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
Okay. My question's about the Big Ten and how it could affect the college football playoff.
Okay.
With Michigan losing this week, if Ohio State wins out and Penn State wins out, Penn State has the tiebreaker to go to the conference championship game.
Okay.
So Wisconsin, Penn State, most likely, who do they take in that situation? Do you take a one-loss Ohio State who didn't even play in their title game? Or do they have to take with the winner of Wisconsin, Penn State with two losses?
That's a tough question. I don't know. I would guess if Penn State or Wisconsin, whichever one wins the Big Ten, you could see a situation where Ohio State ends up being the fourth team in as sort of the wild card team. But I would guess that Penn State or Wisconsin, if one of them wins the Big Ten, they're probably going to get in.
I don't know. With two losses, I don't know. I think it just all of it kind of depends on what else happens. Do you take a two-loss Penn State over a one-loss Louisville or a one-loss Washington that wins the whole thing? No. I mean, that's – and do you put Ohio State and one of those in there?
I don't know. What I do know is the SEC is now a one-bid conference. There's no –
Yeah, there's no scenario now where somebody else
there's
could
no
get
second
in.
Team – coming from the from the SEC, so then it gets down to the discussion of if there is one conference who gets two teams, it's either the ACC or the Big Ten.
Yeah,
and then I don't know how they're going to look at that. I do think if Ohio State doesn't lose again, you know, I would be willing to bet that tomorrow when the rankings come out, Ohio State is number two, and if they don't lose again, I have a hard time seeing them somehow falling out of the top four. And I don't think Ohio State's going to lose again.
Yeah, and I don't think the committee is going to hold against them a three-point loss on the road at Penn State. I think Penn State winning actually helps that.
Maybe
and,
so.
And I think they would take Ohio State. Now, in the
I
past...
I think they might still take Penn State, though.
They might. They might. And, you know, Penn State's another example of one of those teams that is playing better now, has got its act together, that wouldn't be in the conversation if we were just talking about
right.
two.
And but so, at the end, I mean, the other thing is Penn State, not only they lost to Pitt, first of all.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, what?
Well, so did Clemson.
I know. That's what I don't understand. And then they got just drubbed by Michigan. I mean, hammered. So, but have they looked like a new team since? Yes. But you could also argue that they've played one good team in that stretch, and it was Ohio State. So
they beat them, though.
They did,
and they've run the ball very well. That team does not look like, and that happens, man. You have a lot of teams that it goes both ways on. Some teams that start off great and start getting some injuries, and they're not very good. And then you get other teams that just weren't getting it together early, make changes, and get better. And I think that's one. I think this is one of them. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I have a very fun gem of the day for you today, which I think you're going to like.
All right.
It's been a while since you've broken up with somebody, right?
Quite a while.
Probably before. Well, were text messages a thing when you were dating? Had it gotten to that point yet?
Barely. Texting was sort of a newish thing when my wife and I were dating. So it's been a while.
So I bet Jong has broken up with somebody over text before, via text.
I don't know.
You got to be in a relationship to break
Jong
up with somebody, right?
Jong doesn't break up out of a relationship. Jong's.
I got dumped.
Yeah, he's probably. Have you been dumped by text message?
No.
Yeah, see,
I'm not salty about that at all. But no.
Okay.
Not through text.
That bitch didn't deserve you anyway, Jong.
Yeah. Where is she now?
Yeah. What's she doing now? Have you checked her on Facebook?
She's probably put on 60 pounds.
That hasn't been that long ago.
Yeah. She's put on 60.
Never know. Are you Facebook friends with her?
We remained pretty good friends.
She's dating a white guy, and her family hates her for it.
No.
She's maintained her looks?
Uh-huh.
Hasn't gotten pregnant?
No, not that I know of.
Mm, okay. You guys still talk?
No. I mean, it was friendly. I mean, okay. It took a while because, you know, she dumped me, but.
Yeah, it was hard feelings.
Yeah, a little bit.
Has Teresa met her?
Yeah.
Is it awkward when they're in the same room?
No, because that was like in high school.
Oh, well, no, yeah. Never mind. Yeah.
Like again, like I said, I don't. I
Has
haven't
Teresa
dated
talked
much.
To you about a threesome with those? With...
No.
No?
No.
Well, I mean.
See, every time.
Have you thought about bringing it up?
No.
I mean, the worst she could say is no, right?
No, I would not bring it up.
See, I thought that was an Asian thing, though, because I keep seeing these Asian threesome things on, I don't know what that means.
On Pornhub or what?
Well, I just, occasionally when I'm surfing around, something like that pops up.
Hmm.
So I just assumed that was an Asian thing.
All right.
Guess not. Learn something new.
All right, guys. I want to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. You could get, if you're accused of DWI, even if you failed the breath or blood test, you can go through the phone book and you could find a lawyer who will take your case. No problem. That lawyer's probably going to go in. He's going to plead guilty. He's going to knock on wood, hope the judge goes easy on him. Maybe he's friends with the judge, and you get off light. That's not what attorney Gary Trichter's about. He is a DWI specialist, a board-certified DWI specialist, one of only four in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. What that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about the faulty science behind police breath testing and police blood testing, and he's experienced in doing it in a trial setting. Not very many DWI attorneys are experienced in trial settings. Gary Trichter is extremely experienced there. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter. So
word of Red Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. Movember is an annual event involving the growing of mustaches during the month of November to raise awareness of various cancers, such as prostate cancer. Here at Gow Media, we've joined the movement for men's health and are collecting donations to stop men from dying too young. Please help us in this journey. Log on to ESPN975.com, go to our Movember page, and support your favorite host, which in this case is AJ Hoffman, with a donation to their team. And we had a pretty big donation today.
We did. We did very well today. And we are now over the threshold, the $2,000 threshold that I said I would get my prostate checked as well. So
your prostate's worth $2,000 and mine's only worth a grand.
Right.
No, it's an additional $1,000, okay. So yeah, it's the same.
True. Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Do you want to thank who put you over the top?
Yeah, I would like to thank my boss, Mr. David Gow, who, after Fred's, I don't want to call it his virtue, because I'm sure it's been invaded before, but after Fred was decided that he would be violated, donations just stopped for our team. Everybody was willing to throw money at Fred catching a finger.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Gal threw almost a grand today to make sure that I did not escape the finger. So I'll be in there as well.
Well, that's not in the same room.
No, we're going to be side by side,
to
hip.
No, we're not doing that.
We have to.
No,
be.
No, we do
it's
not.
The only way.
We do not.
It's the only way.
97 Sun Devil asked, what a two-loss USC that wins out.
They're a three-loss.
Yeah, they've got three losses, and plus they probably need Colorado and Utah to lose in order to win their division.
Yeah, they
lost that game to...
They put themselves behind it earlier.
They lost that game at Utah, and Colorado still only got one loss, so that's their... I mean, that doesn't mean Colorado's not going to lose again, but that's... They're up against it. All right.
By the way, this Movember thing... There's a reason why I'm winning, besides getting Fred fingered. I'm looking at the other people that are doing this for our station. I haven't seen Patrick Creighton. What's his situation like, his mustache situation?
He has a goatee going.
Okay. This isn't a goatee contest. This isn't a beard growing contest. It's a mustache thing. That's what you do. You grow just a mustache. You have to look ridiculous for a month. Because that's what starts the conversation. People are like, oh, what are you doing with that crazy mustache? And then you tell them about Movember. Patrick Creighton has a goatee. Travis Johnson has a mustache, a little bit of a mustache, but he's also got some big stubble growing in, like a shadow-looking beard. He's actually doing okay. What's Steve Buenin doing?
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
Does he have any facial hair? I think
it's
no.
It's not coming in very well.
And Mike Liebeschock, he just looks like a homeless guy. Like, he's just not shaving.
He does look like a homeless guy.
So he's got a beard and a mustache, and I'm like, dude, why aren't you just have a mustache? He's like, oh, I look too crazy. Well, that's the whole point. And then Jong.
Well, I'm not participating.
Well, you have a page. You're on the network.
Michelle actually made me an account because she wanted me to be an administrator, but she actually put me in the network.
This is a, and what's Raheel look like?
He has a, I think he has a beard going, but he said he can't do the mustache because he's on TV.
Oh, that's such crap. That is such crap. That's even more reason to do it. Get it noticed. You can't do it. Ron Burgundy did TV with a mustache. He's a legend. Too many excuses around here. I have a Hulk Hogan mustache right now, and I look like a total a-hole. I look like a child molester. No joke.
No, you look like kind of a... You kind of look like a frustrated biker.
Okay. Whatever. I don't look good.
I don't know, man. I actually think it's kind of a cool look. It's kind of got that. You kind of got that Wyatt Earp thing working there.
It's not good.
If it were, if that mustache were black, dude, that would be badass. And
you know who doesn't like it? My wife, at all. But she understands it's for a good cause.
Well, see, I have somebody brought up a pretty good point. We shouldn't do it the same day. In fact, we should do it where six other people do it, and then one of us does it, and then six other people do it, because it lessens our odds of one of us being the one in seven.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, we got to think ahead here. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Before that, doesn't it lessen your chance just based on genetics instead of when you go?
Yeah, come on. I know. I'm having fun with it. That one in seven thing scared. Yeah, that's the scary part, right? All right, so this guy may be the most pathetic dude I've ever seen, and he shouldn't have broken up with this girl, because when you read his breakup text, you're going to realize he's not getting another date anytime soon. First off, his name is Bobo, which, okay, great. You named your kid after a chimp. Wonderful. So he listed out all the reasons he was breaking up with her.
All right.
You tell me if they're reasonable. Number one, you refuse to update your relationship status on Facebook.
Okay.
Eh, all right, whatever. Who cares?
I don't know. I mean, because my wife and I were already together.
I don't, but I'm not going to. We got Facebook. I'm not going to dump some chick for doing that.
That seems stupid.
You won't include me in things like the wedding this weekend. I should have been the one to escort you. Dude, I will love you if you don't make me go to a wedding.
I'm about not going to weddings ever.
Yeah, I'll even put up with your feet. Here's my favorite. You are rude to my cat, and that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Oh, jeez. That's not real.
You do not share your time equally, and by now your boyfriend should be taking priority. I'm already liking this girl. Your swearing is very unladylike. And finally, number six, you won't disclose how many sexual partners you have had, which makes me think it was upwards of three, and anything more than that is unacceptable.
Well, luckily, I'm at the cutoff.
There's so many things I could say about that. All I can think about is this guy living with his cat, worrying about somebody having had three partners or more. That you're never getting another date, dude.
Hard times.
Yeah. So, apparently, this is from some chick who's an editor for The Fix. It said, my friend just sent me this breakup message after she received 7 weeks of dating. They went out.
Well, it's tough to lose after 7 weeks. I don't know. Is 7 weeks appropriate time to ask how many sexual partners you've had?
I think that's reasonable.
Man, that's tough. Like, it's tough to bring that up. I mean,
that's almost 2 months.
Yeah.
Of actually being exclusive, right?
Yeah, but if she's saying that he wouldn't tell her they broke up at 7 weeks, he's refused to tell her, like, how long has she been asking that it's gotten to a point where she feels like he's refusing to tell her?
Yeah,
because if we're dating for a month and you're asking me that, it kind of weirds me out, because that's none of your business, bro.
Well.
Or sis.
Does it really matter?
Hopefully.
I mean, what does it matter? It's like, shouldn't it be whatever you guys are doing? I mean, I don't know. It's just not something I ever cared about. Maybe when I was 18.
Yeah.
By then, most of the girls I knew were way over three.
All right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, but we talk a little UFC. Can we that?
Yep.
All right. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. 97.5.